When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hey everybody, welcome to Performance Anxiety on the Pantheon Podcast Network. I'm your host, Mark, and today's guest is Colin Peterick. If that name sounds familiar, you know your stuff. Colin is the son of Jim Peterick, who wrote some of the biggest hits of the 70s and 80s with Vehicle by Ides of March, Eye of the Tiger by Survivor, and Hold On Loosely by 38 Special. Colin talks about growing up in the industry, and he even remembers being woken up at 6 a.m. by his dad while he was working out some of those hits on the piano. Colin's influences are wide-ranging. There's the obvious link to his dad, but he was equally influenced by prog rock, Steely Dan, and skateboarding. He's even the singer and keyboardist for a Steely Dan tribute band called Brooklyn Charmers. His first solo album is coming out. It's called Everything and Nothing, and it is a fun listen. There's such a wide variety of styles. Colin discusses his studio process and if there might be a father-son duet in the future. Check Colin out on Instagram at Colin_Peterick_music and Twitter at Colin Peterick. Pick up the new album at ColinPeterick.com or wherever you get music. You can follow us at Performance ANX on the socials. Rate and review us and all the other great podcasts on Pantheon Podcast Network. Merchandise is available from us at performanceanx.threadless.com. And you can also support us through ko-fi.com/performanceanxiety. Now let's get right into it with Colin Peterick on Performance Anxiety.
All right. Hello. My name is Colin Peterick. I have a debut album called Everything and Nothing coming out on June 14th. I'm happy to be on the Performance Anxiety podcast. Hope you enjoy. You want to catch me up on your podcast so I don't say how long have you been doing it?
Yeah, oh, gosh. Let's see. Interview the interviewer.
Yeah.
Almost 3 years now. I just dropped episode 251 last week.
Wow. Cool. Congrats.
Thank you. Had some pretty awesome guests on. Some guys you might know and like John Anderson from Yes.
Oh, hell yeah.
Albert Bouchard from Blue Oyster Cult.
Nice.
Let's see. You've had Black Rebel Motorcycle Club, Michael Jra and Jarbo from Swans, Trey Gunn from King Crimson. So
nice.
Yeah. So pretty wide variety of people. I've had anything from Zydeco to thrash metal, and it's pretty awesome. I'm really thrilled, but very blessed.
Very cool, man.
So, got a lot of questions for you because you have a different history than a lot of my guests.
Yeah.
Because you basically, you grew up surrounded by the music industry.
Pretty much, yeah. So, spoiler alert, my dad was in Survivor.
What?
Ides of March, he wrote Eye of the Tiger, Vehicle. He wrote, co-wrote for 38 Special, Sammy Hagar, and a number of other great bands. He's had a very fortunate career. And yeah, so that's kind of what I grew up with.
That's incredible. So I imagine music was omnipresent in your life.
It was, yeah. We had a grand piano in the living room, and he would go down there and wake everybody up at 6 a.m. You know, when I was a high school student, I was trying to sleep in, and I'd be like, turn the piano down. But looking back, the early seeds of what sowed my love for music. So I always have my dad to thank for that.
That's awesome. And hearing these nascent forms of these songs that would go on to sell millions, I'm sure.
Absolutely. Yeah. Very inspiring.
That's crazy.
And my dad and I have a great relationship. He's still around. He's still doing his thing. He's still writing and producing. He's got some stuff in the works for, you know, Chicago's new album, Brian Wilson's new album. Wow. And he's still making a name for himself all these years later. He has a ton of perseverance, and I look up to him.
That's awesome, man. I love hearing that, because so often you hear that I rebelled from what my dad was doing, or I didn't want to do anything. But it sounds like you had always seemed to have a good relationship with your dad, and you appreciate what he did and the talent that he had.
I did. I think he tried to maybe push me into learning guitar. The way I rebelled was by getting in the key, you know, so... Yeah, but even before that, I was a pretty avid skateboarder, and I thought maybe I'd want to be a professional skateboarder. And that was something that certainly he was not, you know, familiar or comfortable with. And then throughout high school, I kind of realized, hey, you can still pick up girls as a star.
Yeah.
And it's physically dangerous. So I put music around the age of 18, like full time, and gave skateboarding a little bit of a rest.
Oh, nice. You play all kinds of instruments. So you said your dad wanted you to play guitar. You played keyboards. What did you start off with?
Yeah, I started with piano.
Okay.
You know, chords, in all the different types of keyboards, organ, electric piano. And then probably the next instrument I picked up on was drums, you know, just because it's fun to bang on drums.
Yeah.
And bang around enough on drums, turns out you get pretty good at it.
And if you have an aptitude for it.
Absolutely. And I took piano lessons for several years, but I never took any drum lessons. I kind of just taught myself. And then I taught myself guitar too. And so, You know, guitar is like my main songwriting tool. And I'll pick up the guitar and write a chorus and then bring it into Pro Tools and orchestrate the rest. And so, yeah, I'd say guitar, piano, drums, vocals. I like to arrange instruments like horns and strings. Like that's something I really love to do. And the production side of things, like I'm here in my studio right now. So just learning to communicate with musicians and communicate with bands and get the best performance out of the performers. That's another element of music that I fell in love with at an early age.
Oh, that's awesome. Were you singing the whole time, or was that something you picked up later on? Was that always around?
I was always the lead vocalist, front man, like in all the bands I was in high school, just like de facto. I think kids in high school are pretty, they're pretty nervous to get up on stage and grab a mic and sing in a whole high school class. And I was a nervous kid. I mean, like I was introverted, mm-hmm. you know, but for some reason when I stepped on stage and had that microphone, it's like, hey, my voice is louder than everybody else's. And that's cool. So I can just be loud. And turns out that if you get up on stage and just be loud, and as long as you're even okay, a lot of people respect that because those people don't have the same courage to get up on stage and sing into a microphone. So I always encourage kids to get up there and sing into a microphone because it's scary at first, but it's powerful at the same time.
Yeah, I mean, I was the same way, and I didn't get up on stage and get onto a microphone. I was very nervous. I didn't want to perform in front of anybody. I would do my thing on my own, and that was it. Yeah. But
yeah.
So at what point? I guess, was there a point while you were skateboarding that you thought maybe music was the way to go before you decided to take that full stop on skateboarding?
Yeah, I think skateboarding actually got me into music in a weird way. You mentioned Trey Gunn of King Crimson.
Yeah.
One of my favorite bands of all time. But the reason I even got into them in the first place was because their song 21st Century Schizoid Man was used in a skateboarding movie right around 2004, a skateboarding video, you know?
Okay.
And that music, that soundtrack to that video, like changed my course that I was on. And I was like, got into progressive rock. I got into, you know, I didn't realize that there was music that you can listen to that wasn't on the radio. Like there's this huge cache of underground music from the.
Oh, hold on one second. My dog is going apeshit. Yeah. My wife went out. I was going to warn you about this and I totally forgot. My wife went out to pick something up and my dog might go apeshit, and he did.
No worries. We can edit. This is why we edit stuff.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, God, Hammond.
What's his name? Hammond?
Yeah.
That's funny.
Yeah. I'll give it while I'm waiting for things to calm down. I'll tell you a real weird story about that. So we have our dog's Hammond. He's a Australian Shepherd and Boxer mix. And he's awesome. But he's a rescue. And when we got him, his name was Harry. Well, we didn't like that name. So we named him Hammond after the show Top Gear. It's got the three hosts, and one of his guys' names is Richard Hammond. And we figured Hammond, Harry, is not too far off. He might not have too big of a... He might have too difficult time of transitioning. Yeah. Fast forward like 5-6 years later, my daughter decides she's going to adopt a dog. Same kind of thing where he's a rescue, and he's a lab pit bull mix. And he's the sweetest guy, on a sweetest little dog ever. Well, not little. He's like 65 pounds, but his name is Albert. So now our dogs are Albert Hammond.
Couldn't have planned it that way.
No, not at all. So, all right. Yeah. I think things have calmed down. We'll be right back after a word from our sponsors. This podcast is sponsored by BetterHelp. Without a healthy mind, being truly happy and at peace is hard. The good news is therapy works. But what is therapy exactly? It's whatever you want it to be. Maybe you're not feeling motivated right now and would like some tools to help. Or maybe you're feeling insecure in relationships or at work, not dealing well with the stress. Whatever you need, it's time to stop being ashamed of normal human struggles and start feeling better, because you deserve to be happy. And now you don't have to worry about finding an in-person therapist near you to help. BetterHelp is customized online therapy that offers video, phone, and even live chat sessions with your therapist, so you don't have to see anyone on camera if you don't want to. It's much more affordable than in-person therapy, and you can start communicating with your therapist in under 48 hours. Try doing that in person. So join the millions of people who are seeing what online therapy is really about. It's always a good time to invest in yourself, because you are your greatest asset. And a special offer to Performance Anxiety listeners, you can get 10% off your first month of professional therapy at betterhelp.com/performanceanxiety. That's betterhelp.com/performanceanxiety. Thanks again to BetterHelp for sponsoring this podcast. So,
yeah,
where were we? We were talking about King Crimson in skateboarding.
Skateboarding. I discovered the band. I went to the CD shop in Chicago the next day, the album, and I was like, this can't be the right album. There's only 5 songs. Turns out that when a progressive rock band puts out an album with 20-minute songs on it, then there's like only fits a few songs.
Yeah.
I kind of turned my world around. Like, music isn't in this box anymore. I feel like I can be as creative as I need to be and let my soul out in this music. So that's kind of when I switched from skating to music more full time, was when I realized that I don't have to put myself in a box. I can just kind of write what I want and write from the heart, right from the soul.
Was it a foregone conclusion at that point that you wanted to be a musician, or was that just a transition from I'm going to do something a little less dangerous that still attracts girls?
Well, you know, I always knew that I wanted to do something with art, or, I mean, I never pictured myself, you know, with a 9-to-5 job. I just couldn't do it. Like, my dad is my like role model. He never had a job in his life. He figured out a way to make money with music, and he's my number one fan and encouragement. And so I was just never pictured myself doing that. So I'm like, in high school, you don't know. It's a big transitionary time. You know, what am I going to do with my life? And it's a big question. And so keeping your options open, you know, music, songwriting, that's when I opened up my first studio. So I'm starting to make a little bit of money just recording local bands.
Wow.
And all the money I would make from recording local bands, I would spend on putting into my own production. So I was kind of funding my solo career with my recording career. And so that has snowballed into what it is now, which is kind of just a major evolution of that, where I'm working with, you know, bigger and bigger bands, and I'm have a bigger budget to record my own music and put it out there. And so I think, you know, life is funny the way it works, but I feel like I'm right on track with my destiny.
That is awesome. So you mentioned your dad's your biggest fan, which I can believe. I would hope so. Sounds like a great dad. He went through the good, the bad, and the ugly of the music industry. I mean, was he always supportive? Was he always encouraging of you to do that? Or was he a little maybe apprehensive at first?
Well, it's kind of funny because I was born in 1989. So the real big peaks of his career had all kind of winded down at that point. You know, all the big hits, he had already been established, you know, musician, songwriter, and, you know, Grammy winner by that point. So I wasn't there for the road years. He quit Survivor in 93, I think, because he wanted to spend more time at home with, you know, I'm an only child, so the wife. But to answer your question, I never saw the bad and the ugly parts. I only saw the good parts. I saw the fruition of his hard work. And I think he, maybe he didn't tell every bad story, but he told me enough to where I could draw my own conclusions about this career. And I think he did a good job with that.
Do you find any parallels between skateboarding and your music?
Yeah, absolutely. So I think I've been thinking about this a lot lately because I've been doing these this circuit of, you know, podcasts and radio stuff because the album's coming. And it's a good question. So I think, you know, there's a lot of, not everyone thinks there's a lot of creativity in skateboarding, but there is. You know, the average person sees a set of stairs and they see a set of stairs. But a skateboarder sees a set of stairs and they say, how can I flip my board over it, jump down it, jump over the rail, go down the rail on the trucks, go down the rail on the board. And so when you unlock that, it's like unlocking a part in your brain where it's like the world is a skate park and you look at things differently. Oh, being a songwriter, the world is your inspiration for writing songs. You look at the world differently. And that way, that was kind of the first creative thing that I fell in love with. And that translated over to skateboarding. And then the other metaphor, you know, with skateboarding, you're always hopping fences and climbing up on rooftops, jumping over gaps and doing things you're not supposed to be doing.
Right.
Kind of have a fearless attitude. And with any art form, to be fearless is, you know, a good thing to drive the art forward.
Absolutely. I didn't think about it like that. That's a really good point. I got into skateboarding very briefly and then got out very quickly.
Yeah. Well, it's very unforgettable.
Yeah.
You have to try to do a kickflip a million times before you even get close to landing one. It's very discouraging.
It is. It is. I don't think I ever get landed one. So I think that's why I ended up I think I landed on my ass a lot. And so I think I felt, you know what? I'm apparently not very good at this. I'm going to find something else to do. I wasn't the most patient kid.
There's a million different ways to get hurt. You can get hurt just by looking at it sometimes.
Oh, yeah, I believe that.
Fun, and it's rewarding if you can make it that far.
Yeah, you gotta just hold on there. When did you start writing your own music and your own songs?
That would be maybe eighth grade. I formed my first band called the Mike Hancock Seven. There was five of us, and nobody in the band was named Mike Hancock.
I love it.
And I would write some really bad, imitations of some of my favorite, '60s garage bands, like the Kinks, obviously. But the Animals was one of my favorite bands back in eighth grade.
Oh, wow.
We would try to do some stuff like that. And then freshman, junior year of high school, I formed a progressive rock band called Lobster Newberg. We put out two albums, and I wrote everything on that.
Nice.
A tidal wire, one side's ice and one is fire. It's a circus game with you and me. I'm up on a tidal rope, one side's hate and one is hope. But the top hand on my head is on the sea, and the wire seems to be the only page for me.
Then I discovered Steely Dan senior year of high school. And that to me was a big moment because I went from being very well versed in pop rock to going all the way to the other side with this progressive rock craziness. And then kind of Steely Dan ties it all together. They take the pop rock sensibilities with the other, you know, the progressive elements, the jazz elements. You get all these complicated, kind of ties it all together into a format that still created hits on the radio. And so, you know, my MO is like, hey, if Steely Dan can do it, then it's cool. That's the definition of cool for me.
Yeah.
So once I put that together, I had a new approach, a new songwriting approach where I can be sophisticated still, but have a sensibility that, you know, is marketable.
That's really fascinating. And you're right. I mean, Steely Dan really does tie a lot of different elements together, different genres of music. So, and that, jumping ahead a little bit, that makes sense in listening to your album. That I can definitely feel, and how you worked all of that disparate influences, how you worked them all together on one album. Makes a lot of sense. So when did you actually start gigging?
Well, we did with my prog band Lobster Newberg. We did a tour. I know it's a great name.
It's a great name.
You can go on the progarchives.com and there's a bunch of like great reviews of the website because that community is so tight knit and cool.
Oh, that is awesome.
But you can dig up some stuff, some live videos if you search Lobster Newberg. But yeah, we did a U.S. tour 2009. And we just booked it ourselves, and it was a great experience. We played the Whiskey a Go-Go.
Wow.
You know, we did some, we weren't signed or anything, but shortly after the tour, we broke up. And then I did college. I went to school for audio engineering. And I kind of stayed off the road for a while. I was like a session guy, like a sideman,
okay,
you know, for several different bands and a producer. So I would sit in with bands on stage here and there. But I didn't really have my own project until I started Brooklyn Charmers, which is my Steely Dan tribute band. Started that in 2017.
Oh, wow.
Rising. Like our first couple of videos went viral. We were getting all these great gigs. Then suddenly, you know, the shutdown, pandemic, and all of our plans kind of got screwed up along with, you know, countless other musicians and businesses, which is really unfortunate. But it was during the shutdown that I was like, listen, I'm a songwriter. I want to be an artist. I want to have something to my years of late sleepless nights writing and arranging all this stuff. You know, it's not out there. I want to get my music. It's time in court. So that really motivated me to get my my stuff together and put together an album. And now the album's mixed, it's mastered, it's got a release date, and I've got a bunch of gigs under my belt and a bunch of gigs coming up. So I've been on stage forever, but now this is the first time it's really all coming together as my solo project as a solo artist.
And you're from Chicago, the Chicago area. Does that have any influence on the sound of your music?
I don't know. It's hard to say. I mean, most of my favorite bands are from England. So. But, you know, one of my favorite Chicago bands is Wilco. I think they're like Chicago legends. And they have a certain sensibility that is just undeniably cool. So, you know, growing up with them on the radio all the time and, you know, other great Chicago bands. And I'd say it can't not have an influence on me. Maybe it's more, you know, subliminal than I think, but absolutely.
That's a fair point because, you know, we're moving along into your album and it's got so many different sounds and genres all in one album. It's amazing. It's called Everything and Nothing. And is there any significance to the album title?
Yeah. So I kind of had an epiphany one day. It's like, everything and nothing. That's kind of like, that's like the meaning of life. You know, life is everything. It's the most important thing that we all do as humans, but in the grand scheme of things, it's over the blink of an eye. And so, I think it's important to enjoy our time on earth and not worry about this immortality campaign. If you spend your whole life worrying about how you'll be remembered, you won't be able to enjoy time here. So, I kind of strung that, you know, thought together just to myself, you know, shower thoughts. And I'm like, that is really, you know, deep. And I sat down at the piano and I wrote the title track and I was like, that's it. This album is going to be called Everything and Nothing. Finish it. I'm going to put it out in 2022 and thing rolling. So hey. For finishing it.
You're on track. You're on schedule, man.
Yes.
It opens with Smile. And that's, man, that is a great song. That's such a great opener.
And I know. See a smile on my face. I didn't leave this town.
it's catchy. It's got the beautiful harmonies. I can hear a little bit. You do. Your voice does have a bit of a resemblance to your dad. So you can't, you know, you can't deny that. That, I guess that's DNA, right? That's how that works.
Yeah.
But you know, it's not a carbon copy. So it's a beautiful song. It's immediately catches my interest and gets me interested in the song and the rest of the album.
Thank you. Yeah, that song is pretty cool. It's like a I really like how the chorus has like this odd measure of like 5/4. You know, do you see a smile on my face? And it just kind of catches guard. To me, a good hook is not on the nose so much. Like it kind of sneaks in through the back door a lot. A lot of my favorite songs, like the hook, kind of sneaks in through the back door, and that those are the ones that really stick with you. So yeah, I like that song as an opener. It's uplifting, but kind of melancholy at the same time.
I know what you're saying. And you're right. My kids caught on under the 5/4 thing. They're all in band. So they kind of caught on to that. So
that's awesome.
I don't know that. I'm not a musician.
Well, that's the beauty. You don't have to have a degree to listen to music.
Exactly.
You know,
and, or appreciate it.
Right.
So, we'll be right back after a word from our sponsors. Hey guys, I want to talk to you about socks for a second. Why not? It's a music podcast. But I tried a pair of socks from Boldfoot and loved them. I've only worn them once because my kids have stolen them. So in my household, that's the best endorsement I can give. And I guess it's fitting because the design I chose was jailbait. Wait, jailbird. The design I chose was jailbird. I might keep that in. The socks are 100% American made, and 5% of all proceeds go to veteran charities. It makes sense, seeing that Boldfoot is a family and veteran-owned company. They have a huge variety of styles. So check out boldfoot.com and buy some of the best socks you've ever slapped on your feet. And help veterans while you're at it. That's boldfoot.com. I'm going through this. I've listened to the album several times, and it's so... I'm going to say interesting because I can't think of more flowery word to say it. Because it's just got so many different styles. But to me, and it sounds like it's like the greatest hits of like 1979 of every genre in one album. You've got this beautiful voice. You've got these awesome songs like The Only Light Ahead of Us. That it's so positive. It's so beautiful. If anybody feels bad, you need to listen to that song because that'll just pick you up and lift you right up. I love that song.
So that's the third part of the Thing and Nothing kind of trilogy, and those are all kind of meant to be together. I was going to put them on as one track, but it's just easier to skip through on Spotify if they're three separate tracks. So that song is kind of about like going through the ebbs and flows of you know, mental health, and you know, the lows of, you know, depression and anxiety and self-doubt, and then the highs of getting back on the horse and seeing through yourself to a goal. You know, there's, I know it got so bad, but there's only light ahead of us, only light ahead of us. And it could be taken in many different ways, you know, with a relationship, with a loved one, with a relationship with yourself. And as long as you just remember that life is full of ebbs and flows, and it's always darkest before the... Now, these things sound like cliches, but guess what? They're cliches for a reason, because...
Exactly.
Yeah, but I appreciate that. Thank you.
Oh, of course. And I mean, the album, it wasn't what I was expecting. And to be honest, I can't really say what I was expecting, which is good. I like to try to go into this with open mind, but I wasn't expecting such a variety of stuff. Like, I love Cocaine Nights. That is a great video. And I mean, the song is awesome. And that's so different from everything else in the album. It's got this amazing R&B sound to it. And the video just cracked me up.
Thanks, man.
I
last forever. And the pheromones, pheromones mix with the perignon, perignon. Come on, in the kitchen, I'm on a mission to satisfy the itch, and my vision is going blind. But listen, I'm not alone, not alone.
Yeah, that one, it's funny. I knew I wanted it to be like a Bee Gees throwback. That's the way it started. And it was originally called Boat Nights. And it was like, Boat Nights, Boat Nights. And I remember my dad was like, I like the track. I like the vibe, but I hate the title. Boat Nights? Like what? And so.
Thanks, Dad.
Yeah. Well, at the time I was, you know, okay. So I put the song on hold for like a year. It was like put it on the back burner. And then I dug it up and I was like, Cocaine Nights. Cocaine Nights. And so it's funny that turned into what it is, that because he said he didn't like the word boat. Well, I wonder how he likes the word cocaine.
Yeah. But take that, Dad.
Yeah. But I've been answering about this song recently too. It's not about, you know, I don't condone the use of illegal drugs. Kids, don't do drugs. It's more about capturing the feeling and the time and place of being in a song. You can be transported to any time and place. And some of the best songs in the world just teleport you to a different time and place. And I think I was able to accomplish that in this one. You know, you kind of just feel like you're at an all night rager of a party when you listen to the song, and it's kind of tongue in cheek. And yeah, I think that one turned out cool. It definitely has a little bit different of a style to it, but it kind of fits with the other songs like Jack and Jill and My Secrets, which also have more of an R&B and hip hop influence on it.
Yeah, and the vocals for My Secrets, and I always hate saying things like this, so be forewarned. But to me, the vocal delivery almost has like a something I would hear on the country charts. So my untrained ear, it's, you know, and I don't listen to country. So the only country I've really listened to are the guests I've had on the podcast. So, but that's kind of the feeling that I get. I have got friends that listen to country. And so I'm just kind of picking up on what they're listening to. And maybe I could be completely off on that, but that's just the feeling I get. So take that for what it's worth.
It's funny because hip hop now includes, or not hip hop, country nowadays includes hip hop influences. So the genres are starting to blend together so much where you can kind of draw any, conclusion you want from it.
That's a good point. I think my favorite song on the album though is Bad Days.
Mm.
That song is just amazing. It's like, it's kind of like Al Jarreau jammed with Genesis and America wrote the harmonies.
That's a good description.
I the synth work. I mean, that's just, it's so Genesis. It's great.
That's a pretty cool song. Yeah. That one almost cut because it's so different than everything else. But at the end of the day, I was like, listen, there's no label on this. This is an independent release. I'm just going to put it out there because I'm proud of it. And Craig Bauer, who mixed it, he's a Grammy winner who's done Lupe Fiasco and Ed Sheeran and Kanye West.
Fiasco, yeah.
That was his favorite track too. I was like, there's got to be something.
Yeah. Hey, you can't.
And it's not, you know, it's not a single or anything, but it's an album cut. And I'm really proud of it.
You can't cut the song produced by a Grammy winner.
That's right.
You can't do that. And I keep saying this because it's so true on your album, is that the style, stylistically, it's so diverse. But to me, the beautiful through line is the harmonies, your voice and the harmonies. Now, is that you doubling your voice in the studio? Or are you harmonizing with anybody? How are you accomplishing this?
Well, thank you. Yeah. So I'm pretty sure all the voices are me, except for the girls on Michiana. But yeah, so I love to do this amount double tracks and harmonies and stacking left and right and like coming up with harmony parts. It's one of the most fun things to do. If you've got a good melody and you've got a microphone and a studio at your disposal, you can just kind of play around with it until it sounds huge, you know?
Yeah.
So I love arranging background vocals and arranging harmonies and getting it to the point where you're singing the background vocal. A huge part of singing background vocals is monitoring. So you want to be able to, even though the background vocal ends up being a lot quieter in the finished mix, you want to sing it super loud so that you can hear every nuance of your voice, so that when you come time to turn it down, it blends perfectly. And so I think that's the trick of it. And if you were to do it in a group, in like a, you know, old school, like Crosby, Stills, Nash and Young, you'd kind of all be standing around one microphone blending in real time. But with one person, you kind of get around that by singing each part at a time, monitoring it so that each part you sing is loud enough, and then kind of blending it later. But that's one of my favorite things to do in the studio, is coming up with background vocal parts, just stacking it, sound huge.
Sounds like you have a lot of fun in the studio.
A lot of fun, yeah.
You prefer studio to live setting?
They're two totally different animals. I mean, live is you get what you get. It is what it is. You lay on the stage and the good, the bad, and the ugly, you know. There's no such thing as a perfect live performance. That's kind of the whole point. Whereas a studio recording, it's like you want to make it as good as you possibly can. I mean, this is your stamp on an album. You know, it's going to live on past us. You know, these digital media, it lives on. So you want to be at your best, perform at your best. And if you get a mix back from a master and something's not right, it keeps you up at night. It really does.
Oh, bad. So, yeah.
But that being said, I prefer probably the studio because it's such an old environment. You know, it gives you time. It's kind of like being in an art studio, you know. At a certain point, you got to put on the last brush stroke and say you're done.
Yeah.
And part of the challenge is telling yourself when you're done, because it's equally as easy to add too much. And then you've overproduced, and then you come out with something that is just crazy and too much.
Yeah. Or sounds completely sterile because you've taken all the feeling out of it.
Exactly. Yeah. You don't want to do that either. No. So, yeah.
So... When you recorded, were you playing the majority of the instruments, or did you have your band in there with you?
No, so the band, we just got together maybe 6 months ago, so we're relatively new.
Okay.
So at the recording, I played most of the instruments myself. So I'm usually starting with keyboard or guitar, and then I'll add drums, and then, you know, I go backwards and I'll redo the piano, because maybe the way I played the drums will influence the way I should have played the piano, and vice versa. Maybe I will redo the drums after I do the lead vocal. So it's kind of the game of covering up parts until it all kind of sounds cohesive.
All right. So again, going back to enjoying your time in the studio.
Exactly. Yeah. But it's a lot of fun working with the band. We've been doing a lot of stuff recently, and you know, it's a totally different different thing working with a band. You get to make changes on the fly. If something's not working with a one-man band in the studio, you might not find out until a month later when everything's finally done. Whereas everyone in the studio, you can make changes on the fly, and it's just live. So,
oh, that's awesome. So who is in the group with you now?
So it's Alex Zaravica on drums, who I've known for 10 years now. We've been playing together for a while. Kevin Campbell on bass guitar, background vocals. We went to high school together. And Matt Hines on lead guitar, who's just a phenomenal virtuoso guitarist I met maybe 8 years ago.
Wow.
And kind of a super group, you know. It's four guys and me in front. And I think it's the best band I've been in. The band is just a pro and it's a dream come.
Oh, that's so great to hear. Are you doing the keyboard parts live?
Yeah. So on stage, I have a keyboard and a guitar. So I'll do half the set on keyboards, half the set on guitar. Yeah.
Oh, okay. One of the things that I really enjoyed while researching this is finding the covers that you've done.
Yeah.
You've done some pretty wild stuff. I mean, okay, so you've done a song by Jellyfish. You did New Mistake. Steal Your Thunder by Prefab Sprout. You did Time Will Be Your Doctor by Fuzzy Duck. I consider myself pretty well versed in a lot of things. I've never heard of Fuzzy Duck.
Fuzzy Duck, you should look into them. They did one album in 1972 and it flopped. But again, this goes back to the prog message boards. Like, this stuff gets just handed around, like, you know, on the black market. And I was way into these obscure prog rock and underground bands, and that was one of my favorites from back in the day. So COVID happened and I was like, I'm going to cover a Fuzzy Duck song. And you look at the comments and it's like, whoa, I can't believe there's a Fuzzy Duck cover. Like, good job. That's the cracks me up. I love it.
That's amazing. Because you know there's somebody sitting there every day searching YouTube for Fuzzy Duck.
Right.
And finally something pops up and like, holy shit, I found it.
Get your Fuzzy Duck content out there.
Yeah. I feel pretty safe saying you're the first and maybe last person to ever cover Fuzzy Duck.
Well, hopefully not the last. I mean, I still believe there's a lot of great Fuzzy Duck fans out there. So
come on, prog fans and bands. Somebody else cover a Fuzzy Duck song. How many songs are on that album? I mean, if it's prog, is it one of those, like In the Court of the Crimson King, where it's five songs and they're all 20 minutes long?
No, it's more prog related. It's not super prog. It's kind of jazzy meets garage rock, but I think there's 10 songs on it. It's a pretty good album though. You should check it out.
I will definitely check it out. I definitely have to find that. But I think, honestly, out of all of them, my favorite is your cover of Lana Del Rey's West Coast.
Thank you.
That is badass, man. I like that.
Down on the West Coast, they gotta say, if you're not drinking, then you're not playing. But you've got the music. You've got the music in you. Don't you? Down on the West Coast, I get this feeling like it all could happen. That's why I'm leaving you for the moment. You for the moment. It's true. It's true. You're falling hard, I push away. I'm feeling hot to the touch. You say you miss me and I wanna say I miss you.
Lana Del Rey is good, but for some reason I kind of find myself liking people covering her songs more than her original versions.
Yeah, she's one of my favorite artists. You know, I think she's fearless. I think she does what she wants and doesn't give a, you know, about anyone else except her art.
Yeah.
And I have a true artist. You know, Joni Mitchell is like that. There's, you know, a ton of artists that I look up to, and she's one of them. And I want to kind of, you know, reach us, maybe some of her fans, and just pay tribute to her, because, you know, not everyone's heard of Fuzzy Duck, unfortunately. But a lot of people have heard of Lana Del Rey.
But well, now maybe they'll have heard of both Lana Del Rey and Fuzzy Duck. You may be the reason Fuzzy Duck's album gets remastered and re-released with bonus tracks.
Yeah, they'll go on a reunion tour. You know, you never know.
Exactly. Awesome. Perhaps you might even be able to get them to open for you.
Or we would open for them. Let's be real.
That's okay. You know what? You could do what a lot of bands have been doing lately and just do split headline.
Yeah.
You just switch one night, one headlines, one night, the other.
That would be cool. But I think people, Jellyfish reunion, people have been asking about that forever and ever and ever.
Yeah, that's true. And I've got a question for you, because I heard about this, but I don't know anything about it. But what is the Jam Lab?
So the jam that here right now, it's a very large recording studio in Brookfield, Illinois. It's a multi-purpose recording studio, venue, rehearsal space. You know, the Goo Goo Dolls were here a couple of years ago and they did like a 2-week rehearsal summer tour. We have separate recording rooms that are isolated, drums and vocals and guitars. We have a private venue for weddings and CD release parties.
Wow.
And videos. It's kind of like a purpose-built production house that doubles as a venue. And, you know, I'm the operator and engineer here, and we've got a team of technicians and audio engineers, you know, manager stuff. So it's we're on our 10th year this summer.
Congratulations, man.
Very much. So this is the place that I recorded most of the basic tracks for the album. And we're going to be working on the second album here too.
Oh, that's awesome. So you said your dad's working on stuff. Is he working in the jam lab too?
Well, we have an embarrassment of studios. So my dad has up at his house. So he can just walk from his bedroom over into the studio. But he does use this place a lot too. Like the Ides of March track, their latest album here, basic tracks for it.
Nice.
And we've been producing a ton of, you know, music videos and stuff for each other the past few years as well. So,
oh, that is awesome. Any chance the two of you are going to work together on a song, like a duet kind of thing?
You know, we're talking about it. We kind of have a, you know, an interesting relationship. We're father and son. We love each other, but sometimes we like to keep the business things separated because he never wants to feel like he's pushing me into any direction and I want to, you know, and vice versa. So I think it's not an impossibility, but it has to make sense. We have to come together on a song, a production and make it happen. Cause a lot of people have been asking for that.
And you know, I mean, look, that makes sense. Cause you know, your dad is very well known, done some amazing things. And the last thing I'm sure you want to do is have him, have anybody feel that, you're, and I hate to say riding coattails. I think you know what I mean. You don't want to feel like you're trying to, God, I hate, I just put myself in an awkward position, didn't I?
No, I don't.
you don't want to feel, you want to do it on your own.
Right. Yeah. I think we're very, you know, proud, him and I, and we both want to feel like we've made it on our own. And, without being naive to the fact that he is a huge supporter and he's helping me out with my career. But, that I can go out and make it on my own and play at these venues, do this album and without his influence. But that being said, I know he wants to collaborate. I want to collaborate. We just gotta find something that we want to, you know, work on together. It's gotta come together naturally, organically. You know what I mean?
Oh yeah. Perhaps another Fuzzy Duck cover. Maybe Afternoon Out.
Exactly.
Or Country Boy. Or I've never heard this song, but I'm very curious to hear the two of you doing Mrs. Prout.
Prout is a great song. Yeah. Some of the bass playing on that is amazing.
Oh, I'm just looking at the titles right now. I definitely want to hear this stuff.
These underground bands that I was digging up, he hasn't even heard of. So
that is great, man. When you can beat your dad and he's been in the industry for so long, he's like, hey, check this out. Never heard of it. Have you, Dad?
Well, I introduced him to a lot of groups, you know. Jellyfish was one of the bands that I introduced him to, and he was blown away. But, you know, he introduced me to all the good stuff, you know, the Beatles, the Everly Brothers, you know, Elvis and all those oldies, 50s and 60s. That was kind of formed out of my musical love.
And it kind of sounds like it's informed your style because your harmonies are very reminiscent of Beatles, Crosby, Stills, and Nash, America, Loggins and Messina, Everly Brothers, you know, bands that just harmonize so beautifully together. I absolutely love the harmonies in the album. Are you still working with the Steely Dan cover band? Are you guys still going to be doing that?
Yeah, absolutely. I don't know if this show is live or coming out, but we have two shows in Edwardsville, Illinois, on April 15th and 16th coming up.
I will probably miss that one. It'll be a few weeks before this one comes out. So they were probably amazing shows.
Yeah. So we have a whole tour schedule on our website, brokenfarmers.com. And, for the time being, I can be in two bands at once and it's all good. You know, there's a couple overlap group each band, and there's, we're all friends. There's no hard feelings. And, I think we just all wish each other success.
Well, I do the same for you because I think this album is so great.
Thank you.
It's such a pleasure to listen to. And my kids liked it. I was playing it for them. My wife liked it. I was playing it for her while we were driving. Nice. Played it for my son when we were going to the urgent care this morning. So,
oh, no. Better.
Well, it was good because it wasn't Devin Townsend or something that was just like super heavy, which I listen to a lot. And he's more into 80s stuff. It's hilarious. His favorite band is Tears for Fears. So he was really digging it. So you have a hit on your hands in my family, at least.
Well, that's all I care about. I'm glad you listened to the whole thing. You know, not a lot of you podcasters or, radio listen to 30 seconds of one song and it's bada bing, bada boom.
Oh, I can't do that. How can I talk intelligently about your album if I don't listen to the whole thing?
Well, it's a lost art, man. I really appreciate it.
Oh, of course. Honestly, when I say it's the truth. It was my pleasure. Where can people get the album and how can they follow what you're doing, either live or?
Absolutely. Well, the first album, Everything and Nothing, comes out on June 14th, streaming everywhere. It'll be available on vinyl and CD also from our website. Nice. Pre-orders are not yet, but we will let you know. And that would be just colinpeterick.com, colinpeterick.com. You can find me on Facebook, Instagram, YouTube, Twitter, Spotify, all the normal stuff. Go follow me. If you like what you hear, spread the word, spread the links, and share with your friends, and check out the website for all tour dates and all that good stuff.
Yeah, and definitely check out the YouTube channel because that's where you've got a bunch of the covers. That's where Fuzzy Duck is.
Yeah, there's a lot of cool stuff on YouTube that hasn't made it to Spotify. So yeah, there's some behind stuff on there as well. So check that out as well.
And I gotta say, being a car nut, I do like your Lambo in the Cocaine Nights video. That was pretty sweet.
That's my dad's, not mine.
Man, I wish my dad wrote a hit song. Or, 100. Right. Thank you so much for spending so much time with me. I've kept you quite a while here. We're almost an hour, so I really do appreciate you spending so much time and going into so much detail with me about your process and all. It's been fascinating.
Of course. Thank you so much. It was my pleasure.
Baby, I'm crying. Tell me now, tell me once and forever, can you see who I am? Doctor, dying. Tell me now, tell me once and forever, can you see who I am? Look at me now, tell me truth or tell me nothing, can you see who I am? Baby, I'm crying. Lonely now, thinking once in a while, I don't know who I am. Maybe
it's NFL draft season, and that means it's time to start thinking about fantasy football. FantasyPoints.com features industry-leading experts and prognosticators using proprietary hand-charted data to help you score more fantasy points. FantasyPoints.com is the place to go for whatever kind of fantasy football you play. Whether you play fantasy football, daily fantasy sports, or do a little bit of everything, Fantasy Points has the meticulously researched content to guide you to victory. And why wait for the fall? Fantasy Points also covers the new spring football league, the UFL. Join the guru, John Hansen, Scott Barrett, Joe Dolan, and other massive names in the fantasy football universe with an exclusive offer. Use code Pantheon for 15% off any Fantasy Points package, including the all-in package, with access to every article, tool, and data nugget that Fantasy Points has to offer. That's fantasypoints.com and code Pantheon for 15% off at Fantasy Points. Fantasypoints.com, code Pantheon. Score more fantasy points.